ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतकलाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो विच डिवोटीज हैव क्वेश्चन टुडे?
The question has to be with respect to Chaitanya Charitamrita only?
No. This is, it's a question, I mean, I don't know, like, what you will ask about Chaitanya Charitamrita, because...
That's it. I can ask a question about anything, whatever I am.
It is about anything. It's anything. That's the reason I have invited all the devotees. And so it is a... It's not meant for CC classes. Now, CC class is actually temporarily on hold because we just finished Adilila. Like last class, we have finished Adilila. So now we are going to start... Madhya Lila, we might start later after some time, but it might take some time. So then what I thought is that we should do question answer because it's very important that all the devotees should know the concepts very well. So any devotee from any class can ask any question. It can be related to BG class, CC class. It can be related to Shastra also. What you are currently reading, what you are currently experiencing in ISKCON. You have any questions about the management in ISKCON or like many different things, you know, if you have any question about that, then you can definitely ask. So it is not pertaining to anything. Okay, it's an open thing.
Okay, baby. Sure.
Okay, so I have one question from Chintamani Magari. She had asked me. So that question I have in the mind, but what about other devotees? Do you all have any questions? Okay, let me start calling the names of the devotees who have joined. And let me start individually asking. Okay, so Rajiv Prabhu, do you have any question right now?
The question I have actually is not related to philosophy. It's something like about that mandala and all that you were saying that day. So maybe we can do that later on. Let us give priority to the question which maybe others have.
Your question is about what?
Aapko mandala ke baare mein bata rahe the na? Mandala and the earth is the center.
Achha, Bhumandala. Okay, so you have a question about Vedic cosmology.
Something related to that. Not a very tough one, but maybe that can follow. It's not such a high priority thing. Maybe we can do the others.
Okay, theek hai. Okay. So that we can cover later. Any other devotees? Angel Mataji, Neeraj Prabhu.
Tuli, I have a question pertaining to deity worship in terms of how to worship Shaligram, Shilas, and which ones to worship. Because I was reading somewhere that if we worship it in an improper way, then there are various negative effects.
Okay. So you have a question regarding that, or you want to know about worshipping of Shaligram, Shilas?
I want to know more about worshipping of Shaligram Shilas and which Shilas to worship and how to worship.
I have only basic idea about worshipping Shaligram Shila because I myself am not worshipping Shaligram Shila. And what I know is that Shaligram Shila and then Govardhan Shila, we should not buy it from someone or we should not try to, we should not show our eagerness to worship it. But they should come according to their own will. The standard of worship for Shaligram Shila is quite high. And then obviously there are offenses to be considered. And first of all, for worshipping deities as such, we require second initiation. Okay. Not even first initiation, but technically speaking, second initiation. Now, so do you know the difference between the first initiation and second initiation?
The first initiation is the Nam initiation, and the second one is the Brahman initiation, right?
Yeah, so Harinam is the first initiation, and second is actually Brahman means basically that is also mantra initiation. Actually, technically speaking, the second initiation only exists. There is no first initiation. So there is only one initiation, and that is the Diksha initiation, which is called as the Diksha mantra. Like, this initiation means that we bestow Gayatri mantra. The spiritual master is bestowing Gayatri mantra to the disciples. Once he is quite sure that the disciple is qualified to worship the deity, and he is qualified to be a Brahmana. So after that, the guru will give Diksha mantra. Right? So, yeah, so without having second initiation, so first initiation if you have, or if you don't have any initiation, then the worship of Gaumita is recommended. But if you have second initiation, and if you are really into deity worship, then devotees can also, like, if they, according to their inclination, they can worship Shaligram Shila, Govardhan Shila, but taking the permission of the spiritual master. And generally, some senior devotees, senior Vaishnava will give you the Shaligram Shila to worship. So that is the standard, basically. What I've heard is from Prabhupada purpose, I don't know much about it, but what I've heard is that you have to offer Tulsi every day to Shaligram Shila, and then you have to do Abhishek. So there are like multiple Shaligram Shilas, but so you can take one of them that will be the representative of the other Shaligram Shilas, and then you can perform Abhisheks. Something like that I've heard. You have to offer Tulsi, you have to apply Chandan, and you have to apply water, offer water or something. This is what I've heard, basically. So the standard of worshipping Shaligram Shila is simple, because, you know, it's not a complete deity form. But at the same time, Shaligram worship is also very exalted worship. So because it takes into consideration the offenses. So we have to be very careful, and we have to be really pure to worship Shaligram Shila. Otherwise, it will have negative effect. It's the same as saying that if you worship Radha and Krishna, if you're not qualified, if you're not worshipping properly, then you will commit offenses. So obviously offenses will have negative effect.
When we have gone to Mukhinath a couple of years back, there also at the Ganges River, we were looking around for the Shaligram. And as you said, it's the same thing which we learned there also, that Shaligram should not be purchased. We should find it on our own. And the bare minimum service that can be given is the same thing. So we should offer Jal, Chandan, and Tulsi. That is the bare minimum. There can be more elaborate also, but that is the bare minimum. If we do, it is fine. It's that bare minimum also. It is okay.
Now, any other question? Now, Vandana Mataji, any question?
Prabhuji, related to this only, like, we have a Laddu Gopal and we have a Jagannathji deities, like, you know, which we got it from Puri, right?
Jagannath Baldev Subhadra or only Jagannath?
Jagannath Baldev Subhadra.
Okay.
And we got it from Puri and we were worshipping them. Like, we worship them every day, like, you know. So, and like, we are not initiated, and best of our capabilities and knowledge we are worshipping. So, some instructions, I mean, as you were saying, you know, the Shaligram Shila has to be worshipped in a particular way, and they, otherwise, you know, it'll be having a negative effect. So does worshipping Laddu Gopal and Jagannath Ji without having any proper training of it, are we committing any offenses? I just wanted to ask you.
See, generally the Lord, the most important part of worship is the devotion. That is the foremost thing. All other things are secondary. Because if you have real devotion for the Lord, and if you are worshipping the Lord on a daily, regular, steady basis, And obviously, so it is assumed that you are also following the regulative principles, you have certain priority also, and you are following what the Acharya has recommended. So if you follow these things, then you can worship. But you have to be careful because you are conditioned. And, you know, there are chances, there are 64 offenses in worshipping the deities, okay? And I don't know how many of them you know, which offenses to be we have to avoid. So there are. So you have to go through the list of 64 offenses and then you have to see how many offenses are you committing from that. Okay. So now, this is actually more difficult than chanting the holy name because chanting the holy name has only 10 offenses and that is also too much for us. Because we are definitely committing offenses while chanting the holy name, right? So at the same time, deity worship also, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, they also take offenses. That's the reason the worship of Gaurnita is the best worship because they don't consider offenses. Okay. So what about your standard? What standard are you following to worship the Jagannath Baldev Subhadra? Are you offering? So generally the minimum standard to worship deities is that you have to do the aarti in the morning, you have to do aarti in the evening, you have to offer them bhoga. Obviously Jagannath is there, then bhoga has to be continuously offered. And then, so aarti, bhoga, and then you have to dress the deities also. You have to, you know, clean the deities also every day. So are you doing this much?
That we are following. Like we are dressing Jagannath deities every 15 days, every Ekadashi, changing their dresses. But Laddu Gopal, we do it every day, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Even my mother also does every day because she also worships Laddu Gopal. So, she also does every day. So, the regularity, punctuality is very important in deity worship. Punctuality, regularity, and cleanliness is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then obviously, whatever. Huh?
Yeah, that we do, like, when aarti cleaning the whole the temple and bhoga's offering.
Okay, so aarti, which are, what aarti do you do?
We do that morning aarti and
morning aarti and gaur aarti.
Morning we do gaur aarti. Then we do tulsi aarti both morning and evening.
Okay, so you are doing that mangala aarti also in the morning?
No, not mangala. Not
4:30. No, 4:30 we are not doing.
No, time is not so important actually. You have to set your own time actually for worshipping the deities because we are not worshipping in the temple. So the temple standard is very, very exalted standard. We, in the house, the standard can be adjusted. So it is not necessary that you have to wake up, you know, early in the morning to do aarti. You can do aarti according to your preferred time. But it is, you know, aarti means basically you have to sing the mangala prayers to spiritual master, samsara davala prayers, and then you have to offer incense, lamp, flowers. These three things at least you can offer. And then, you know, if you are doing Narsingha aarti and then tulsi aarti and
yes, this is what you're telling.
Okay, so if you are doing it every day, then it is good. So at least you are following some standard. So it is good. It is good, but you have to also take many things into account, you know, especially for Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. So the most important thing is you have to be steady in your worship.
Steady, like on a every day, right?
Every day, obviously, every day. You have to do every day.
So that we are following, Sufi.
Yeah, and I believe that you must be also chanting, you know, 16 rounds or maybe like.
Yes, Sufi.
Yeah, so that is good enough.
So, Sufi, yeah, you just mentioned that at home the time is flexible, it can be adjusted. But at the same time, you said about punctuality. So when you say it can be adjusted, that means if you have set for 7 o'clock in the morning, then every day 7 o'clock. If we have said 6:30, then every day 6:30.
Yes.
Otherwise, 6:30 or 7 ho gaya, then it is an offense. That is what you mean?
See, sometimes it happens, that's a different thing. But it should be, more or less, it should be steady worship. So the punctuality has to be there. So every day we should maintain the same timing. You know, so see now, BT worship, kya hota hai? You know, the greatest advantage of BT worship, it will regulate your schedule. You know, just because you are worshiping DT, so DTs need everything on time basically. In the morning, you have to do on time. Get up. So for that, you have to get up early in the morning at a fixed time. And then in the night, you also sleep at a fixed time. So that you will get, you know, minimum hours of sleep. And then, so the entire thing becomes very regulated. And so this is the idea of DT worship, that it brings the devotees to a regulated platform. And from there, they can very quickly advance. So it brings them to first platform of brahmanas, because brahmanas are very regulated in whatever they are doing, and it also extracts purity. So you know, when you are worshipping deities, then you also like to be as pure as possible. So basically,
it inculcates the discipline. That means it automatically inculcates the discipline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the reason DT worship is very important. But I would always recommend that we should worship Gaur Nithai, you know, in the beginning, instead of any other DTs, because Gaur Nithai are, you know, without offenses. And then it also depends, like, you know, not each and every devotee, they want to spend a lot of time in DT worship. And maybe some of the devotees, they would like to spend you know, extra time in DT worship, or probably that is the main service area. So then maybe they can have more DTs, but for those who are doing other services, for them it is very important to have Gaur Nithai and follow a simple standard of worship. But that worship, if it is regular, it is steady, then it has effect.
Okay.
Yeah. So see, one thing about DT worship is that initially in the beginning we want to worship the deities, and it's an exciting feeling in the beginning. But then what we have seen through the experiences of devotees is that over the period of time, the enthusiasm goes down. And why? Because, you know, you kind of become responsible. And so generally our tendency is to be you know, to be neglectful, or like you say that, you know, we want to have a lot of freedom. So after some time, you know, devotees might feel that, well, you know, I don't want to do this, like, you know, on a daily basis, and I should do something else. And, you know, so that kind of feeling should not come. So the deity should be invited very maturely. We should not rush. So only if you are ready to worship the deities on lifelong basis, then only you have to invite the deities. Otherwise, it should not become a botheration. So it is like, you know, you are actually including a family member in your house. An extra family member you are actually including. So you have to take care of them. And you know, sometimes to maintain the regularity is also very difficult. It's not so easy. So, and you know, how do you worship the deities? That's another thing. You know, are you know, when you do the aarti, are you wearing dhoti kurta? You are wearing tilak? So are you following the standards properly of dressing and all that? So these are all different things we have to take care of.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so we have to, when we are in front of the deities, we have to maintain certain standards.
Mm-hmm.
We are not allowed to touch the deities actually without second initiation. But somehow, what we have observed in ISKCON is that many devotees, even though they are not initiated, they have deities in their house and they are worshipping nicely. So if they are worshipping nicely, if they are regular, then it is good. But if they feel that, well, you know, they did a mistake or something, you know, then that is not the right attitude for worshipping deities. So we have to, and you know, deity worship is also very important because it can also change your consciousness from regulated devotional service to spontaneous devotional service. So, like for example, you can have a lot of exchanges with the Lord. You'll have reciprocation with the Lord. So it is like, you know, you are taking care of a person and the person will reciprocate with you. So in that sense, like, you know, for example, now we know that in the morning we have to do the Mangala Arati. But this is not the way we have to perform the Arati. Like, we have to think that we are waking up the Lord and the Lord is going to, you know, going to start his Leelas. You know, like, now obviously what Leela is going to do, that we don't know, that we don't speculate. But this is how we actually try to serve the Lord. Not in a term in the terms of regulated devotional service, but it should finally come to spontaneous devotion where we feel that, well, you know, we are waking one of our relative members and you know, then we are feeding him and you know, like that. So that becomes very personal. Like, deity worship is a very personal service. And you get to directly serve the Lord. Okay. So that is very extremely important service. In fact, Prabhupada said that those who worship deities, just by worshipping the deities very strictly and purely, one can go back to Godhead in one lifetime.
That is good.
Yeah. But obviously, now we know terms and conditions always apply. So very purely and strictly, you know, it has a lot of meaning. It has deep meaning. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, devotees like Janani Vas Prabhu and, you know, some other pujaris who are really completely sold out and dedicated to deity worship, they are the ones who can actually tell you, you know, what it means to be a pujari. So, anyways, you know, it all depends on the service of a devotee, like what focus they have, what major service they have. Yeah, and then, you know, we have a minimum standard. We should start with a minimum standard. We should not unnecessarily go for a higher standard in the beginning and then reduce the standard, because the principle of spiritual life is that we start with the minimum thing and then we keep increasing with, you know, as and when we advance in spiritual life, you know, we keep increasing our service to the Lord. But there is one more factor, that deity worship becomes difficult when, especially for old devotees, those who have crossed beyond 65, it gets becoming more and more tough, because there is a lot of physical work, you know, while performing deity worship. So you have to prepare the paraphernalia, you have to offer to the Lord, you have to dress the deities, you have to clean everything. So that takes a lot of efforts. So it becomes difficult for elder devotees, senior devotees, like, you know, those who are beyond 65, 70, like that. So after some time, you know, and we also see this in our Gaur Leela, where some of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are Nitya Siddhas, they also were not able to worship the deities, you know. Like for example, Kadadas Pandit himself. So when he grew old, you know, he was unable to, you know, as you all know, that Gopinath was actually standing initially. Okay. And so he was offering the garland to Gopinath every day. But then as he was growing, you know, he was growing in age, after some time he was unable to, you know, bend and offer garland to Gopinath. So then Gopinath thought that for my devotee, you know, what I will do is I will just sit now. So then the Gopinath, you know, the Tota Gopinath, now if you see, I don't know how many of you have taken the darshan of Tota Gopinath, but you see it is the sitting Gopinath. And the Gopinath sat down just to take the offer of Gadadhar Pandit because he was unable to bend himself. Okay. So, and then, you know, there are other examples like Ganga Mata Goswamini. She was also unable to serve the deities after some time. And some other devotees also. So this is a practical thing. Now, these personalities, they are all exalted Nitya Siddha personalities, but we are sadhakas. So we can never imitate them. And so we have to admit, you know, that we are unable to perform the worship. So then the deity worship has to be passed down to the generations. Okay, so that is a long-term vision. You know, a devotee must have a long-term vision also that after they are worshipping, after the worship is over, who is going to continue the worship? Okay. Yeah. And what I've also heard that many devotees, they are unable to do a lot of things. Now, see, there is also one disadvantage. Now, obviously, see, disadvantage in the context of associating with devotees. That's how I'm saying. Obviously, there is no disadvantage in worshipping the Lord in any form. It's always going to be advantageous. But unless and until we come to a certain standard of spiritual advancement, we have to take association regularly. We have to hear regularly. And we have to serve our guru and the devotees also on a regular basis. Why I say this is because, let's say, if you have high standard of deity worship, even if you have Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, if you have Bal Gopal, or you have Krishna, or if you have Radha Krishna, or Gaur Nithai also, like, you know, you have a couple of deities in your house, and you are spending almost 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours a day. Or let's say, even if you are not doing it every day, but especially now, obviously, because you'll be working from Monday to Friday, so then Saturday, Sunday, you might have a holiday. And then what happens is, the Saturday, Sunday, entire day goes because you have to chant your rounds, then you have to do aarti and all that, then you have to do abhishek, then you have to dress the deities. So it takes almost 4 hours. So 4 hours is gone. And then after doing all these things, you get tired. Then naturally you don't want to go to the temple and associate with devotees. So this is a disadvantage, you know, in terms of artificially increasing the standard of deity worship. Because the most important thing, and Prabhupada said that the real worship of the deities is in the temple. It is not in the devotee's house. So Prabhupada said that all the devotees, first of all, he wanted that the Riyastas should live near the temple. So they can make the deities in the temple the center of their service. Now, if they are staying far, then they can have deities in the house and they can worship. But whenever there is a conflict between attending festival in temple or in the house, preference should be given to the temple. Because the highest standard is worship in the temple. There are maximum devotees who are also in the temple. So you will get a lot of benefit by going to the temple. And then the idea is not just to worship the deity, but to actually hear about the glories of the Lord. Because you cannot see, even if you have deities, now many people, they have deities in their house. Like, for example, Bal Gopal is quite common, right? And most of the people, especially the Gujaratis, Marwadis, they have in their house. And maybe some Punjabis or some other caste also. And then the South Indians, they will have, you know, Lakshmi Narayan, or, you know, Narsingha Dev deities and some other deities. So what happens is, deity worship, many people, they are doing it from the beginning. But we have to also judge and test our attachment to the Lord. So how much faith we are attaining in the process. You know, like, we know there are so many people who are worshipping the deities, but they don't even believe, or they can't even think that there is a spiritual world. You know, when you ask them, they don't even know who is God. When you tell them about heavenly planets, hellish planets, they will say that really all these things do exist. So, see, that's the reason Prabhupada said in a couple of places that deity worship is for neophyte devotees. Or you can say that, you know, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned that the Lord says that if devotees are only worshipping the deities in the temple, but they are not giving proper respect to the devotees, they are not following the devotees, they are not taking association of devotees, then they are Kanishta Adhikaris. And it is also mentioned that one who sees the Lord in the temple only, but does not see the Lord anywhere else, he is also Kanishta Adhikari. So the idea is that we have to acquire knowledge from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and through that knowledge we have to advance in spiritual life. So all these processes, they are going parallel. You cannot focus only on deity worship, and you cannot just focus on the process of hearing and chanting. You have to balance, because that's the reason Prabhupada gave two paths, parallel paths, Bhagavat Vidhi and Panchatrik Vidhi. Panchatrik Vidhi is to regulate your spiritual life, and Bhagavat Vidhi is to make you spontaneously love the Lord. So now, initially we don't spontaneously love the Lord, so obviously we require to follow the rules and regulations. And then after following it for a long time, being steady in that service, then we attain spontaneous. So it has to be cultivated simultaneously. You have to hear also, you have to chant also. And at the same time, you have to perform deity worship. So keep this in mind, that whenever there is a conflict between the temple or let's say, you know, there is an association of devotees, and we should participate in that more compared to, you know, giving an excuse that we have to worship the deities in the house. So that is not actually the right mode of worship, because I know some devotees who are worshiping the deities in their house, and they don't even have the proper attitude, and they don't behave also, you know, they are attached to name, fame, so many things. And it is not the right way actually. So what is the use of worshiping the deities in the house when you are not able to understand what is spiritual life? How we have to associate with devotees, how we have to surrender to the process. If we do not do that, then worshiping the deities becomes a formality. So we have to balance all these things. Okay, that's very important. In fact, the as we know that in Kali Yuga, chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the holy name, is actually the Yuga Dharma. The deity worship was the Yuga Dharma for Dwapar Yuga, right? But so that's the reason Jiva Goswami also says that every activity that you perform in bhakti in Kali Yuga, it should be assisted by chanting of the holy name. So whatever devotional services we are doing, we should try to chant also at the same time. You know, you can do it internally also in the mind, you can chant in the mind, you can also, like that. So we have to balance all these things. We cannot just focus on deity worship. Okay, so is this clear?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So any other devotee, they have any comment on this? Devotees who are worshipping deities already, they would like to share something.
So Prabhu, this is Neeraj Kapoor. Can I just ask a relevant, related point over here?
Yeah.
You just mentioned that deity worship was actually prescribed during Dwapar Yuga. But still we find that the deity worship happens in temples and at homes in Kali Yuga also. So if it is not prescribed, then does it have any sanctity?
Okay, so see, definitely, you know, see now comparatively, if you see in Satya Yuga, there was austerity and meditation. Dwapar Yuga, Trita Yuga, it was fire sacrifice, yajna. And Dwapar Yuga, it was deity worship, right? So now the acharyas, and especially Narad Muni himself, he has introduced the system of deity worship, and he has passed down this system. And then, you know, our acharyas also, like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and, you know, all the acharyas in our parampara, right from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Goswamis, they have all incorporated deity worship because of the potency of the deity worship. So compared to the yajna and the austerities that were done in Treta and Satya Yuga, deity worship is definitely simple, right? So that's the reason, you know, they have only taken deity worship and they have also incorporated. Now, deity worship is given and Diksha Mantra is given because in Kali Yuga we are very fallen. We are attached to so many materialistic things and we are not at all regulated. right? To make us regulated, these things are required. So in order to cultivate that kind of purity, to come to that level of purity, we require deity worship, because deity worship means that we are directly involved with dealing with the Lord. Okay, so that definitely requires us to follow a certain level of standard and purity, and that's the reason there is Panchatri Vidhi. Now, ideally speaking, one who is chanting the holy name does not need to do deity worship also, but provided that the chanting is offenseless or it is Shudhanam. So if you are chanting purely, then see, one more thing, that the chanting itself is actually deity worship. So you don't require separate deity worship. But it becomes deity worship. Yeah, it becomes deity worship when you are very advanced. When you chant the holy name purely, then it becomes deity worship, because you will experience Krishna directly in the syllables of the holy name. So there is no point of worshipping the deity, because the Lord is manifesting in the syllables of the holy name. Right? So, Kali Kali Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. And then we know that Krishna is not different from the holy name. Right? But because we are not on that platform, we are not so pure, we have to take advantage of the deity. See, okay, one more thing. The greatest advantage of deity worship is that you see, now Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if you chant in the beginning, you will feel that you are not so personally connected with the Lord. To be very honest and frank, as a sadhakas, we don't experience that, you know, that the holy name is not different from Krishna. I mean, I have not realized it yet for myself that the holy name is not different from Krishna. So we are just practicing, right? And we have that faith that the holy name is not different from Krishna, but it's not that Krishna has revealed that, you know, he is not different from himself through the holy name. So we have to have faith. But if you worship deities, then you can personally experience the personal nature of the absolute truth. So it is more personal. It will make your conviction and faith stronger in the personal aspect of the Lord. That is the most important advantage of deity worship. Because you are directly reciprocating with the Lord. So when you get the reciprocation from the Lord, when you exchange with him your emotions, your love, your thoughts, your ideas, your, you know, service, you share with the Lord, and then the Lord will reciprocate with you, then actually you get more into that personal feeling with the Lord. Right? So that's the main idea of deity worship, that it should make you more, it will actually take you more deeply into the personal aspect of the Lord. Because otherwise, initially in the beginning, you know, like for us, it is kind of an impersonal thing, because we are not directly in touch with the holy name. So we are just chanting, and mechanically we are just hearing the holy name. But like, it's not that, you know, we are seeing the Lord appearing in the holy name, right? So as we advance in spiritual life at the state of Nishtha, the form of the Lord is well established in the heart. Okay, so that means that when you are chanting the holy name, you will automatically remember the form of the Lord. That's the reason the acharyas, they very highly and strongly recommend that one should chant in front of the deities. Because when you chant in front of deities for a number of years, then as soon as you chant the holy name, you will remember the form of the Lord, because you have been chanting in front of the deities since a long time. So then you get into the more personal concept of God. You get deeply into it like that. So that is the biggest advantage of deity worship. Okay, so does this make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for sharing what you shared. Wonderful.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Okay. Okay. Any other devotees? Any more questions? Ujwala Mataji, Sudhame Mataji, are you there? If you would like to share something, you know, you have been worshipping deities also. So if you'd like to share something. And I have to see if they have joined or not. Chintamani Madhuri, yeah, you are also Dhanapram, yeah. Chintamani Madhuri also, you are worshipping the deity, so you all can share something, you know, from your experience. Like to share?
Harishna Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Actually, we got the deities and we are trying to serve, but a lot to learn. Today got more realizations from your talk, Prabhuji.
Oh, anyways, I don't have any realization, but I just like whatever I hear, you know, I just share. But I guess, I mean, you know, I just have Gornitha deities. I worship Gornitha, you know, but you all have Jagannath Balde Subhadra, and you have a higher standard probably of worship. You have a lot of deities in your house. So if you'd like to share something, you can share.
Nothing more, Prabhuji. As you said, we have to implement a lot. We are in the learning process.
Okay. Chintamani Madhuri?
Nothing much, Prabhu. Just.
Okay. So I think then we can continue. Any other devotee, they have a question? Okay, let's go from Chintamani Madhuri. Okay, coming to, okay, I know your question, but let's try to see which are the other questions also. Any other devotee, they have any question? Ujwala Madhuri?
Prabhu, today nothing, Prabhu. Actually, my mother-in-law is in the hospital. In between, I am attending her calls, Prabhuji. So today, I just listen. Maybe in between,
okay,
I have to get
disconnected. Okay, no problem. Okay. Sudhamani Madhuri?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Today, I am also not having any questions, Prabhuji.
Okay. Neeraj Prabhu, you have any question? Neeraj Karla Prabhu. Okay. So Chintamani Madhuri's question was about why is Madan Mohan, Govindan and Gopinath described as, or they are representatives of Samman, Abhideya and Prayojan. Right? That's the question, no?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So anyone would like to give answer to this question? Any thoughts? Any thoughts? Okay, anyone knows about this? You know, why Madan Mohan, Govindar and Gopinath? They are the representatives of Samman, Abhideya and Prayojan. First of all, do you know what is Samman, Abhideya, Prayojan?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so what is Samman Gyan?
A relationship with the Lord.
Okay. Abhide?
It's the process.
It's the process.
And Prayojan is the fruit, that is the love of God.
Okay, so is this clear to everyone? Like everyone knows Samman, Abhide, Prayojan?
Can you, in a short, Prabhuji, very short, if you can just explain. Samman is relationship, that is fine. The other thing?
Okay. So see, the entire Vedic literature is talking about three things. Samman Gyan, Adivaya Gyan, and Prayojan Gyan, because the Shastra is only given Gyan. So what are the types of Gyan? So the entire category of Vedic literature is just talking about these three things, Samband, Abhideya, and Prayojan. So Samband is how you establish your relationship with the Lord, what is your relationship with the Lord, how you establish that. And then Abhideya means the process or the worship or the way to attain the Lord. Okay. And Prayojan means the final goal. So final goal means you attain the Lord. By doing Abhideya, by working for the Lord, by serving the Lord, you attain the Lord. Finally. Okay, so that is called as Prayojan, the final goal, attainment of the Lord. So now, so is this clear?
Prayojan means arrangement, right?
Prayojan means the final goal.
The final goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so is everyone aware of these three things? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan?
So our final goal is to explain, can be explained as what? As realization of Krishna Prema, is that the final goal?
No, not just to attain realization, but to attain the Lord means, you know, we attain perfection, we attain prema. That is the final goal. So prema, love of God, is the final goal. What about other devotees? Are you all familiar with Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan? Niyash Prabhu and Vandana Matari, are you familiar with these terms?
So just superficial, not very detailed.
Sorry?
On a very superficial thing, like, you know, not a detailed.
Okay. Actually, so I think this is so important to know, because you know when we are talking about deity worship, this is also connected to deity worship. And as I was saying earlier, that if you want to worship deities, you must have knowledge. If you want to chant the holy name, you must have knowledge. If you want to perform any devotional activity, you must have knowledge. And that knowledge is called Sambandhyan. So you cannot chant the name purely unless you have Sambandhyan. So Jeev Goswami, you know, he has written the Sandarbhas. So the first four Sandarbhas, they are actually Sambandhyan, related to Sambandhyan. And then the fifth one is related to Abhideya Gyan. And the final is Prayojan, the sixth one. So the Sambandhyan is it's a vast ocean. So there are many, many topics under Sambandhyan. What is the nature of Lord? What is the nature of living entity? What form of Lord should we worship? What is the quality of that Lord? How that Lord is different from other incarnations of the Lord? This is all related to the Sambandh of the Lord. Like, you know, because we should know whom we are worshipping. If we don't know whom we are worshipping, how he is, you know, some devotee might like to worship Vishnu. Some might like to worship Rama. And then some would like to worship in different rasas. In Dasya Bhav, in Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav. But then why are we worshipping the Lord in Madhurya Ras? So then all these things, and then, you know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also that Janma Karma Cha Mevidyam Evam Yoveti Chakrata Tattva Deham Punar Janma Naitima Meti So Arjuna. That unless you understand the transcendental nature and activities of the Lord, you cannot get free from this cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. But once you know the Lord's activities, transcendental activities and nature, then you can go back to him. Right? Naitima Meti So Arjuna. So, this Sambandhyan is extremely important. All the devotees should they must have the Samman Gyan. So Samman, only with Gyan you can actually chant the holy name purely. And if you don't have Gyan, you can reach to the state of Namabhas, but you cannot attain Shuddhanam. Okay? So anything that you do, it has to be accompanied with Samman Gyan. See, and that's the reason I was saying that it's not just about deity worship or any other kind of devotional activity, but it has to be along with association of devotees. We have to gather knowledge, we have to take knowledge. And in the association of devotees, and by following the instruction of the Guru, we actually understand how to perform devotional service. That is the most important thing, you know, because, see, like yesterday only we were discussing in the class that it's actually quite common for many people, they can offer so many services to the Lord. But the biggest service that they can offer to the Lord is to give up one's ego. And so how to give up one's ego and how to do the service is the most important thing. Because, you know, the external thing does not matter, you know, so much. The bhav also matters a lot. And if you're doing with the intention of acquiring name, fame, appreciation, or if you want to, you know, be the best, and, you know, you have that competitive spirit, then the Lord is not going to appreciate so much. Even though you do a lot of sacrifices and devotion, devotional services for Him, but you're not going to appreciate that so much. Because you're doing it with some kind of envy. Right? But small amount of devotional service if somebody will do with purity, then that will have a lot of weightage. So the Lord is not just, he's both actually. He's Sargrahi and Bhavgrahi. So he sees the bhav of one's devotion and he also sees the essence of one's devotion. So it is not so important that external services should be, you know, they have to be huge and a lot of, unless you are not doing it in huge quantities, you are not able to attain the mercy of Lord. It is not like that. It all depends on circumstances. Like, you know, one time we were discussing about Prabhupada's pastime where, you know, he was, one gentleman came, he was very rich. And so he gave some donation to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada did not appreciate that. But one girl came and she, whatever she had, she gave everything to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada appreciated her very much. But that was, you know, just a few paise. And the rich man gave a couple of 1,000 rupees. So in terms of quantity, obviously the rich man was giving more. But in terms of the essence and the bhav, actually the girl was giving more to Prabhupada. Because whatever she had, she gave everything. But this rich man, he was just giving one or 2% of his contribution. So we have to know all these things. Now, how to deal with devotees, how to act with our different types of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. Because you cannot act the same with each, all these three categories. With Kanishta, you have to, or, you know, with the juniors, you show compassion to them. With equals, you share Krishna consciousness. You inspire them and you also take inspiration from them. And with seniors, you only take inspiration and guidance. Right? So this is how we have to act. So there are so many etiquettes we have to follow. And for this, we require Samman Gyan. And this is about how to perform devotional service. But there is also the consideration of knowing this tattva of the Lord. The tattva of the Lord, the tattva of devotees. See, the entire CC, like the Adi Lila, it is hardly talking about the pastimes of the Lord. It's only, I think, 5 to 6 chapters which are actually started the description of the pastimes of the Lord. But if you see, almost 12 to 13 chapters, they are just describing the tattva, the Siddhant about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, associates. So Siddhant means that who are they? If you don't know who are they, then you cannot. So that's the reason Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is taking extra effort to explain everything in detail. It's very technical. You know, if you go through the Adi Lila, it's difficult to understand. There's so many concepts involved because, you know, he is explaining each and every incarnation of the Lord. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who is Nityananda Prabhu? Who is Advaita Acharya? And then, so, you know, when we talk about Adwaita Acharya, we talk about Mahavishnu. So who is this Mahavishnu? Then what is the role of Mahavishnu? Then, you know, who is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu? And then who are the Devtas? So all these things we have to know thoroughly. Like, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we didn't even know that these are tattvas. We have the Shiv Tattva, we have the Jeev Tattva, we have the Vishnu Tattva, Guru Tattva. You know, these are tattvas. So this helps us to develop our faith. And also to reciprocate with them on that particular degree. So we know that, you know, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our entire life is dedicated to Him. And then we know that by worshipping Krishna, all other demigods are also satisfied. So then you should know who is a demigod. Then who is the Shakti Tattva, you know. So Radharani, and then so many expansion of Srimati Radharani in Goloka, in Dwarka, and then Vaikuntha. So this is all Samband Gyan. So we should know Samband Gyan thoroughly. And once we know that, then when we perform devotional activities, it will have a lot of effect. Now, you know, like there are some devotees, they have faith in the Lord. They even have devotion for the Lord. But the problem is, many times when they are faced with certain questions from outsiders, when there is some challenging question, they are unable to answer because they lack the conviction, because they don't know what is the reason for this. So if someone will come to you and tell you, ask you certain questions, and if you are unable to answer, then that will create a wrong impression, right? Because then they will think that these Hare Krishnas, they are just sentimental people. They are just falling blindly. So the faith and devotion is there, definitely. That is important. But actually we have to acquire proper knowledge. Unless we acquire proper knowledge, we cannot explain to others. Right? So does this make sense to everyone? So Samband Gyan is very important. And that is the reason it is very important to associate with devotees, hear lectures every day, hear and read every day. That is actually the real fuel for the soul. Okay? Because chanting in itself will not reveal things to us. Chanting has to be accompanied by Shravanam. Then chanting will reveal, then chanting will manifest. So has anyone got any experience? They have been chanting 16 rounds since a long time, maybe more than 10 years. But did chanting reveal to you everything automatically? If it did reveal, then there was no question of this session today. There was no question of discussing so many shastras today. Right? So it is quite logical that if chanting would have revealed everything to us, then what is the point of the shastra? What is the point of discussing so much? You know, we simply attain the Lord quickly. So, yeah, the chanting does reveal the Lord, but provided we follow all these things together. You know, we follow the direction of the Acharya, then chanting will, the Lord will reveal Himself like that. Okay, so is this clear? Any comment or question about this? So, see, in one of my podcasts also, there was one question which I had addressed. It's about, you know, Prabhupada said many times, you know, in to his disciples in the letters that if you chant 16 rounds sincerely, attentively, follow the regulative principles strictly, and thoroughly read my books, then the holy name will, you know, then you will get the answers from within to your questions. So when you do these things, when you hear regularly, when you read regularly, then the holy name will help you to reveal things to you. But before that, it cannot do it. You know, it will not do it. Okay, so any question on this? Everyone understood Samband Gyan? Are you all there?
Yes,
okay. So, okay, now coming to Abhide. So now Sambandhyan is clear. So Sambandhyan is required, or it is very useful, very important, so that we can practice Krishna consciousness, we can do our seva properly in the right spirit, right consciousness. And when we do our service along with the Sambandhyan, then it is called Abhidhyan. So Abhidhyan means, you know, how to serve the Lord, basically. So that we how to attain the goal, and how can we serve the Lord. Then Prayojan means attainment of that goal. So now how these three deities, they are connected to Sambandh, Abhidhya, Prayojan. So first of all, the Lord is one, but He is manifesting in different forms for our understanding, for our benefit. And obviously, you call Krishna as Madan Mohan, you call Krishna as Govindev, or you call Krishna as Gopinath. It's one and the same Krishna. But depending on the Leela that they are manifesting, or the task that they are performing. Okay, so as Madan Mohan, so now what do you understand by Madan Mohan? Huh?
Is attractive, like he attracts us.
One who is attracting who?
Madan, Madan,
even the Madan
Cupid.
Cupid.
Correct.
Even.
Yes, 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 yes. So one who is attracting Cupid, and then we know that Cupid is actually the one who is, he's the one who is responsible for giving us the quality of lust, right? So so in one sense, Cupid is actually engaging us in Maya, but the Lord is actually attracting Cupid. So when we worship the Lord in the form of Madan Mohan, we are trying to disconnect ourselves with Maya and connect ourselves to Krishna, because we are trying to overcome lust. Okay, so I hope, you know, this answers the question, that because Sambandh means establishing a relationship with the Lord. So when you disconnect yourself with the material world and you connect yourself with the Lord, so that for that reason we worship Madan Mohan, because He is the one who is actually going to clear our lust. So He will help us to overcome our lust and get attracted to Him. So this is Madan Mohan. In a similar sense, now what is the meaning of Govinda Dev?
Govinda is which gives pleasure to senses and even cows.
Yes.
Cows.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yeah. So the similar idea is here also, that when you start worshipping the Lord, when you start serving the Lord, you are engaging your senses in the service of Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you are trying to please the Lord of the senses, who is Govinda. So that's how Govindev is actually the representation of Abhidhyan. Okay. And the last one, Prayojan, so Gopinath. So now what is the meaning of Gopinath?
Master and proprietor of Gopinath.
Okay, yeah. So now, and how it is connected to Prayojan then?
Ultimate, the gopis, how they showed the surrenderedness, one has to attain it. Life's ultimate goal. Ultimate.
Yeah.
Of Krishna.
Yeah, so according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ultimate goal, or the ultimate mode of worship to the Lord, is that in the mood of gopis, of Braj. So that's the reason Radha Gopinath is considered to be the Prayojan deities. And so we have the respective acharyas also. So Sanatan Goswami is the representative of Madan Mohan, then Rupa Goswami is the representative of Govindev, and Raghunath Das Goswami is the representative of Prayojan.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so is this clear to everyone? Does that answer your question, Chintamani Madhuri?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, what about other devotees? Rajiv Prabhu, Neeraj Prabhu, and Sudhamani Madhuri.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's clear to everyone. Okay, Angel Mother.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, so now any other question? Okay, if no one has any question, then I have certain questions, and obviously I want that you all should answer. So now these are like some certain basic questions which I have also had given in the Nectar Devotion exam, and I just wanted to make sure that we also revise these things. Okay, so now the first question is that if this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, okay, now what is the difference between a mantra and a Mahamantra? So we have discussed this many times. So I am expecting answers, you know, exact answers to this question.
In Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there is only the names, that means only the names of the Lord.
Holy names.
Yeah. No,
okay.
Om, Namaha, nothing like that is there. But in mantras.
Yeah, yeah. So the difference between a mantra and a Mahamantra is that the mantra has words like Om, Namaha, Swaha, like that. But the Mahamantra means it has only the holy names. Only has the names of the Lord, does not have anything else. So now, okay, so this is the difference, but now what is the specialty of the Mahamantra? Like how it is the Mahamantra?
It has no restrictions for chanting.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but the other mantras, they have restrictions. Okay. So, now the question is that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is that a Vedic mantra?
You mean, is it given in the scriptures, that way?
No, no, no. So, there are different mantras given in different scriptures, and there are certain mantras which are given in the Vedas, and so they cannot be chanted actually openly. So Vedic mantra is a mantra which is coming from the Vedas. It's not coming
Mahamantra
from
can be chanted. Mahamantra can be chanted by anybody.
Okay, but the question is whether it is a Vedic mantra or not. So we know that there is Shruti and there is Smriti.
Shruti and Smriti. I think mantra from the Upanishads can't be chanted except for the Brahmanas.
Yeah, so Upanishad, and what is a Upanishad? Okay, now, first
Vedas
of all, Vedas, okay. So what are the divisions of Vedas? Do you know? Anyone knows about the division of Vedas?
No.
I'm not talking about that. Each and every Ved has a division. Like, there are four divisions.
Upanishads.
Huh?
something like Aramnathya or something.
So, anyone knows? Okay, so Brahmanas, Aranyakas, Samhitas, and Upanishads. Okay, so these are the four divisions of the Vedas. And the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, now where is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra found? This is very surprising. I'm not expecting that devotees, they don't even know where is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra coming from.
Upanishad, Prabhuji.
Upanishad. Kali Santara Upanishad. Kali Santara Upanishad. So, like, why did it take so long time to answer? So it is coming from Upanishad. So it's a Vedic mantra.
But I think what happened was, it was Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
That's another misconception devotees are having, that the mantra was reversed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it is not like that. This we have discussed in detail in our class. And in fact, I have also emailed all the devotees the references from different scriptures that this mantra appeared as it is, meaning Hare Krishna, Maam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. So now, you know, that's the reason, you know, devotees are having this kind of conception that because it's a Vedic mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reversed the mantra so that everyone can chant it. But this itself is a false claim that the mantra was actually in the reverse order and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reversed it. That's not the right thing. It is exactly like that only as we are chanting. But so then if it is a Vedic mantra, then how can we chant openly? I don't know why devotees are unable to answer, especially devotees of the CC class. We have discussed so many times, not in just CC class, but even nectar devotion. In fact, this was also the question in the exam paper. And I think many devotees had given the right answer also. So did you all copy? Like, mug it up and copy? Or, so what is the answer? I mean, some devotees already answered just a few minutes ago. What is the difference between a mantra and a mahamantra?
Because it doesn't have Om, Namo, and Swaha.
Yeah, and it's then
the
what?
Names
what
of the Lord. And
Sudhamai Mataji answered, Rajiv Prabhu also answered.
No restrictions.
So the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, even though Vedic mantra, because it is the holy name of the Lord, it is beyond any rules and regulation. That's why we are able to chant openly the holy name. Okay, so Gayatri is not allowed to chant openly. It has to be secretly chanted. And it has to be given by the parampara, guru. But the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is open for everyone. So is this clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where is Rajiv Prabhu?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, not hearing your voice. Are you feeling sleepy or what? Because working day.
Little low on energy, yes. But since I answered that, so I thought maybe you are expecting reply from other devotees.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the answer that it does not apply to any rules, regulations of the scriptures, because it is the Lord Himself. Even though it's a Vedic mantra, is the Lord Himself. So the Lord is beyond any rule regulation. So this is about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, different from the other mantras. And now, what is the difference between Gayatri and the holy name?
So Gayatri will have the Om and Bhur and all the Bhur, whereas holy name is only the name of the Lord.
Gayatri has restrictions.
Gayatri has?
Restrictions.
Restrictions, yeah. So it's what we were discussing earlier, is the same thing. With the extra inclusion that the Gayatri Mantra also gives the essence of the three Vedas. So basically, the Gayatri aims at the absolute truth. The Gayatri is actually revealing the absolute truth. So in that sense, the essence of Gayatri and the holy name is actually the same, because they are both directing us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Gayatri is specifically meant for worshipping the deities. This is called the Diksha Mantra. Okay, and as we know that Om Bhur Bhuvatsva Tatsa Vidur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodaya. So they will have words like Om Prachodayat Dhimahi, you know, like these words will be there in the Gayatri, and that makes it the Gayatri. So Gayatri is also different from a regular mantra. A regular mantra will have like Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, like that. But Gayatri is different in the sense that it will have Prachodaya Dhimahi, you know, terms like words like this. And also Gayatri indicates the ultimate, it reveals the essence of the Vedas. Right? So Om is the sound vibration of the Lord, the first sound vibration, Omkara, and that Omkara manifests in the form of Gayatri. So right, so in the spiritual world we have the Kama Gayatri, and then it descends into the material world as Brahma Gayatri, like that. Okay. So ultimately the goal of Gayatri is to take us back to Godhead. That's the final. Now obviously Gayatri can have different purposes also. It also depends on the conception of the chanter. For what purpose they are chanting the Gayatri? So it depends on that. yeah, but specifically Gayatri mantras, they are meant for the worship of deities. Because you cannot approach the deities without the mantras. Okay?
So it is not recommended to chant the Gayatri mantra maybe during the day, or maybe in the morning when we are in a
meditation. It is only to be chanted by devotees who have got Diksha from the Guru. Because it's only given by the Guru. The mantra reveals itself only when it is given by the Guru. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra does not wait for anything. So even if you don't receive from any Guru, you can still chant the holy name. So that is another important consideration of chanting Gayatri. Then it does not wait for, the Gayatri has to be, you have to receive it from the Guru, you know, the specific succession. Otherwise the mantra will have no effect. And so, you know, yesterday only when we were talking about, you know, Krishna says that I am Japa of the names. So Japa is generally referred to as silent, secret chanting, which is basically Gayatri. Okay, and then, you know, this Padma Puran Shloka also, Sampradaya Vinaya Ye Mantra Nishfale Tu Matha. So without receiving the mantra from a guru in some parampara, you cannot, the Gayatri or the mantra will have no effect. Nishfala Te Matha will not give any fruit.
So sometimes in this Arya Samaj schools and all that, when they make all the children chant this Gayatri mantra, or when we have some puja at home and they make a chant, actually it is of no use because we have not got initiation through Guru into that mantra. So that means it is actually a wrong understanding that those pujaris may not really know that they just make a chant unknowingly. Is it so?
Yeah, it is not supposed to be chanted. You know, it is clearly given in the Shastra. So those who don't follow Shastra, they will chant. They will have certain preconceptions about the mantra. They will chant. But those who are strictly following the parampara, the Shastras, they know that the Gayatri is not supposed to be chanted because it's a secret mantra. So the very fact that it's called a secret mantra, how can it be chanted openly and by everyone? Right? And even in, you know, the movie, I remember the Kuch Kuch Hota Hai movie also. There was, that was Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram, sorry. But, but I think, yeah, maybe there was some Gayatri reference in that movie also. And obviously, you know, so people, you know, they hear from different sources, from movies and all that they see, and they start chanting. But they don't even know that this, you know, mantra can never reveal itself. So it might have certain terrifying effect in the sense that because the mantra is the holy name of the Lord, so certain effect might be there. But unless and until one accepts a guru in a parampara, they will have to keep coming back to the material world. So in that sense, mantra will not have any effect.
Okay.
Yeah, so is this clear to everyone?
Okay.
Okay. Neeraj Prabhu and Mataji, are you there?
Yes, I am there.
Okay. So, what should we do? Should we end the class? You know, because tomorrow is a working day. And so, you know, if we keep continuing, then it might take more time. You know, we can keep this question answer session short. So that, you know, because of working day.
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay. So everyone is okay with that. So we can end. I think we started by 9:30. So 1.5 hour is sufficient, I think. Okay, so you have now, we won't be having the class. Until 13th Feb. After that, we'll have the class. So if you have questions, then you can keep a note of it, and then you can also post in the group, and we'll try to cover as many questions as possible. I have more questions, but obviously we don't want to discuss now. It will get late. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanot Pram.
Hare
Krishna. And many wishes to you for Sana.